And I tell you what, it's just been family here this weekend. I'm so excited to just bring out a precious gift that God has gave to the body in these times. I'm telling you what, we have been so blessed. You know, you believe the prophets and you prosper. And we trust the ones that, you know, that we bring here and has the word of the Lord. So I want you to absolutely thank the Lord for Amanda Grace today. Hallelujah. Her and Chris. Say that again. Let's get ready to rumble is right. Praise the Lord. We're like their city slicker cousins. Their Yankee cousins that come down from New York. Like bulls in a china shop. We love them. We absolutely love them. They are family. And I'm going to have Chris pray first. I always have my husband come out first and pray before I let it rip. So here you go, Chris.
Thank you, body. Oh, so nice to see you here. Oh, we're blessed. And thank you. And I pray. Right now, Yeshua, Jesus, your presence in this temple right here. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Come on, praise the Lord now. Oh, Jesus, thank your presence in the temple. Oh, Lord, we praise you right now and pray, oh, Lord, your blessing on us. On us. Into us, every breath, oh Lord, from man, from you, oh Lord Jesus, we believe and receive your blood, your breath, your life for us. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Amen. Amen.
By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God. May only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Father, the humble privilege of being a servant of your power. You are welcome, Lord, in this place. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Can we put up John 10:10 again for a moment? We flow into each other every time, but we don't really consult on what we're going to talk about. But I want to prove to you something, because the enemy, and we'll get into this in a bit, has watermarks on his work. You know how bills have watermarks on them? Well, he's got watermarks. He's got certain calling cards for his work, right? John, it's John 10:10 for a reason. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know this month has been 10 months since the election? Do you know it was December 10th, I believe it was 2024, when that school shooting happened in Madison, Wisconsin, at a school called Abundant Life? He has a calling card, and we as the church need to recognize it. Because if you can recognize what's moving ahead of time, you can dismantle it in the name of Jesus Christ. According to God's will, you can. So, interestingly enough, today is a very prophetic day. It's always prophetic when we're here. Always. You have to be ready in season and out of season. But today is September 9:14:25. If you add that together, it equals 48, which happens to be our next presidential election. So something's being started this weekend. A catalyst here. I don't think it's any accident that this was orchestrated way in advance for us to be here right after the events that happened in this nation. The Lord, seeing what was coming, ordained it for us all to be together. That's not an accident. That's the divine timing of God. And in Warrior, Alabama, because that's what needs to rise out of the church. Fiery Italian women are good at that. Just ask my husband. We're bred for it. I want to start with Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 9 through 11. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives, physical and spiritual, and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance and retribution of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion the following, to give them a turban instead of dust, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up and restore the former desolations, and they will renew the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. In Isaiah 61, 9 through 11, because there's a pattern of this, says, then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants among the peoples. All who see them will recognize and acknowledge them, that they are the people whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom puts on a turban and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will most certainly cause righteousness and justice and praise to spring up before all the nations through the power of his word. That's what's going to come forth out of this. Righteousness, justice, and praise to spring up before the nations, including this nation, including Israel. This most certainly is a turning point in our nation and for the church as well. And we must rise to the occasion. We are not backing down. We're holding our position in the Lord. Ephesians 6 says, put on the full armor of God so you may stand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, that means hold your position. And right now, the church has to hold its position right now. We are not backing down. We are not shutting up. And we are not going to stop proclaiming the works of the Lord in this nation. We are not going to stop lifting up his name and being about his business. That is a declaration being made here today. And I'm going to tell you, it was August 15th, 2025. The Lord said something to me. He said, SOS September. And I actually said it on that broadcast. SOS is a distress signal. The SOS signal was adopted, interestingly enough, in 1906. That would make it 119 years old, which is 9/11 backwards. August 15th, it left my mouth as a warning, because the prophetic speaking is the mercy of God going forth to warn into a situation, to attempt to turn it. Now, when there's a distress, there needs to be a rescue measure that's deployed. The church operating right now in the true power and authority of Almighty God needs to be that rescue measure for this nation in this hour. Stop playing church. It's time to be the church and operate in the fullness of the believer's authority. We have to know it. We have to be willing to rise up in it, and we have to be willing to utilize it. This is a rallying cry to the church to armor up, lock arms, and rise up amidst the spirit of heaviness attempting to come on the nation. And what does the Lord say? Put on the garment of praise. And it lifts the spirit of heaviness. Praise is a weapon. It's like firing a bazooka at the enemy's camp. We have to lift that up right now, because that heaviness is attempting to come on the nation. Praise is a weapon. And in the midst of tragedy, this nation and the church needs to lift their voices of praise to the Lord to cut through all the noise the enemy is making. Don't feed into his rhetoric. Dismantle it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have to dismantle and destroy it. Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance on his adversaries and will atone for his land and his people. I assure you, because the wages of sin is death, there is going to be a wage that is paid to disciples of darkness that want to partner with these plans and purposes. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 12, especially the verses 9 through 11 in this. We are pressured in every way, hedged in but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair. Hunted down and persecuted, but not deserted to stand alone. Struck down, but never destroyed. Always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be shown in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are constantly experiencing the threat of being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the resurrection life of Jesus also may be evidenced in our mortal body. So physical death is actively at work in us, but spiritual life is actively at work in you. Praise the Lord. Romans 19:21. Do not be overcome and conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because God is absolutely good. And evil cannot stand in his presence. If you notice right now, there are no riots. There are no robbing of Walmart stores. Raiding Nike stores. There's no riots. There are prayer vigils. There are people coming together in prayer. The nation needs to humble itself before the righteous judge in the midst of this. Vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not ours. It's his. And we need to humble ourselves and seek the Lord's face, his forgiveness, and his love. And we need to armor up and equip the church. The armor is not for show. It's for battle. And it's about time the church learns to go to war against the tactics of the kingdom of darkness. And we're going to talk about that today. August 28th, when I had gone on a broadcast, the Lord had me title it Acts 9-1-1. So August 15th, he had me say SOS September. And then I'm saying Acts 9-11 because the title is as prophetic as what's said. And we have had a pattern of this in this nation. In fact, the jobs numbers came out right before all of this, and it was 911,000 jobs had been created in the month of September. Because the enemy works in cycles. You break the cycle, you break his power. So if we look at it, the book of Acts, 9-1-1, road to Damascus, what was happening? Saul of Tarsus was looking to paint the people of God in a false light, and he was attempting to get Arius to completely turn on them. Persecution against the people of God, 9-1-1, they were in that temperature. And this is why you see this arising right now. This is why you see what's attempting to arise in a hostile takeover in the midst of this. This is why you see even those on the conservative side acting a certain way right now. This is why you see those in Congress suddenly acting a certain way. This is why you see in tandem the people of God getting attacked one after the other in different parts of the world. This is why you see the rise in Jews being blamed for pretty much everything. Like nobody else is living on the planet. You know, God forgive me for this, but should we say Moronville, population 5? I mean, there's a bunch of corruption happening on the earth. The whole earth is corrupt. Praise God for Christ Jesus, because we'd be goners. And I'm going to tell you something. Praise God, God's not Italian, because this sucker would have been torched a long time ago. Would have been done. Praise the Lord for that. We have a nuclear button, which is great for the prophetic, by the way. Not so great for other things, but great for the prophetic. This is why you see this outcry when it comes to Gaza. This is why you witnessed in Nashville, Minneapolis, Utah, and Wisconsin what we did over the past year and a half. Saul of Tarsus had a letter in his hands. He was on his way to imprison and kill more Christians on that road to Damascus. That letter was a manifesto. Because unclean spirits love to write manifestos. They love to be heard. They want to be worshipped. It was an announcement of his authorization to carry out such acts, not by Almighty God, but by dark territorial powers that were working in that area. This is the same dark religious spirit that is out for blood, thrives on persecution against the people of God, that had Saul of Tarsus as a disciple and a mouthpiece. This is a vile, deceiving, bloodthirsty spirit that deceives those into believing they are doing such in the name of righteousness and saving a nation, when truly they are disciples and mouthpieces of darkness. The battle in America currently is not just for the soul of the nation. It is for the mindset of the nation. If you control the mindset, you control the greater territory of the nation. And the church needs to recognize and understand this. This is a battle for the soul, and this is a battle for mindsets, and they're connected. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing, not some high thing, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not man-made. And they're only mighty through God. They only work through God to the pulling down and destruction of strongholds. We are being thrust literally by events happening into the time of the Acts Church. We are. The Acts Church fiercely grew, operated in incredible power. However, there was much persecution. If you just look at Minneapolis and Utah alone, the target were both believers. The target was the ecclesia. Believers that are coming over to be a ruling body. It was the ecclesia. And I will tell you, both these places, and there are others too, but both these places is where high altars exist in the nation. Because the kingdom of darkness is powered by altars. And you had altars, you had manifestos. Those manifestos have a connection spiritually to the same manifesto Saul of Tarsus carried on his road to Damascus. And I'll tell you, in the middle of this, as angry as we get, we need to pray for our enemies in the middle of this, because there are Sauls out there who are about to be raised up as Pauls. There are Sauls out there that this is going to be one of the wages God exacts on the kingdom of darkness for what they've done. And he's going to take their own weapons. And he's going to radically save them. And he's going to raise them up to be incredible voices for the kingdom of God. That's part of the wage that's going to be exacted from this. Praise the Lord. That same principality that was utilizing Saul as a disciple to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, is at work now. Ancient entities are at work now in a modern-day generation. Damascus, the road Paul was on, was going to Syria, because Damascus is in Syria. These are the ancient false gods of Assyria we partially see at work here. And I'm going to prove it to you. I can prove this to you. Because the kingdom of darkness, like I said earlier, leaves watermarks on their work. And if you're paying attention, you can see what they're doing. The Lord will reveal it to you in Revelation what they're doing. You have to be, the church has to be, and we were talking about this last night, while we were eating, or late yesterday afternoon, we have to be like the sons of Issachar right now, discerning the times and seasons. We have to be equipped with that. The church needs it. It is essential in the time and temperature we're in. The ancient gods of Assyria that caused Israel to fall. Isn't it interesting that within Assyria, the words AI exist? Along with some of those other countries in that area. There was a false god called Ishtar, also known as Ashtoreth to Israel. That ancient entity attempted to ascend a woman in 2024 to the highest seat in the land. In fact, it announced it before it did it and before the bait and switch ever happened. It announced it. And it was involved with what just happened in Utah. When Charlie Kirk opened his mouth, the last time he spoke, he was answering about transgenderism and transgender violence when he was shot. The Temple of Ishtar, the main hub was in Nineveh, where God sent Jonah, where he didn't want to go the first time because he knew how barbaric these people were. And he goes the second time in obedience. After a giant fish swallows him for 3 days, God went to extreme measures to get Jonah's attention. And he goes, and the main hub of the temple was in Nineveh. And in their ceremonies, men dressed up as women and were considered transgender. This is not a new thing. This is a very ancient and old practice that has been repurposed, especially to the younger generation. Repurposed and recycled. And this was the last thing that was spoken before this tragedy happened. And on top of it, to prove it to you, the ancient Assyrian Empire was founded in 911 BCE. They have their hallmarks on it, their watermarks. They'll expose themselves if you have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has to say. 9/11 is about the birth of disorder. This is why we have watched a pattern of this. Interestingly enough, President Trump's own presidency is equal 9/11. But if you look at the numbers 9-11, yes, 9 has to do with birth. You come to full term as a woman. And yes, only women can give birth. Yes, that's a scientific fact. I trust the way God made things. And 9, yes, has to do with birthing. But it is also the 9th month of September on our calendar, happens to be. And 11, 1-1, are twins. So if you ever wonder why 9-11 was chosen, for the fall of the twin towers. This meaning runs deep. It's got layers to it. Our entire emergency system is built upon 9-1-1. Emergencies bring disorder. Emergencies attempt to usher in tragedy. And we're about to enter a window, Rosh Hashanah, this month, the beginning of the new year on the Jewish calendar. We're about to enter a window of a year, which leads to Rosh Hashanah 2026. Rosh Hashanah 2026 begins on 9-11. So we are entering a year's window where we as the church have to rise up. We have to armor up. We have to hold our position. We have to speak the word of the Lord. This keeps happening over here. 9-1-1, 9-1-1. You think the Lord's trying to tell us something? We're probably going into one of the most tumultuous years, potentially, leading up to that. Because the day the towers fall and the days the shofars blow, the same shofars that blew and brought down the walls of Jericho, converge in 2026. And it converges 2 months before the midterms. This is about the enemy trying to compete for a timeline, to hijack it now by shedding blood in order to try to catapult his agenda into a more favorable position right now. And the question is the church ready to brace for impact? Are we ready? Because we're here. We've reached that point. Not only bracing ourselves for the events at hand and readying ourselves, girding our loins, but bracing ourselves with the full armor of God and rising up to have one of the greatest impacts for Christ in this time. In this time, we need to have one of the greatest impacts for Jesus Christ, for his kingdom, and to set the captives free. Because as long as they're a captive, they're a slave to do the bidding of darkness. The Lord is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Or are we listening to the great noise and tumult the enemy is attempting to lift up in this time? We cannot get into offense in this time. We have to stand from a point of righteousness, because the enemy is attempting to release fear and rage, who are working in tandem right now in this nation. Fear and rage also worked in tandem when it came to Naboth's vineyard in 1 Kings 21. During the time of Ahab and Jezebel, right before Jehu comes on the scene and destroys the house of Ahab, and he tears down the temple of Baal, but what did he do? He left Ashtoreth intact. He didn't deal. He left it intact, which means that false entity was still competing for the nation of Israel. We're watching similar happen here in this nation. And Ashtoreth is also known as Ishtar, same false entity, different regions. And in 1 Kings 21, Naboth had a coveted piece of territory that Ahab and Jezebel wanted. They served Ashtoreth as well as Baal. They served both. Also known as Ishtar, Naboth refused to hand over that vineyard within the nation to them. What does Jezebel do? She first goes, attacks, and destroys the character of Naboth by paying scoundrels to lie about him. Propaganda is not a new thing. It's a very ancient thing that just has a digital world coliseum now to perpetuate itself in. And then, after that, has Naboth killed to attempt a hostile takeover of that territory. That vineyard is Generation Z. It is the coveted peace that they fiercely want, but couldn't totally have. And these same ancient prophetic patterns are at work today involving the same ancient entities. Because the enemy has to work in cycles. If you break the cycle, you break his power. If you break the cycle, you disrupt his plans. If you break the cycle, you weaken the stronghold. It's about breaking cycles. And I want to talk to Generation Z for a moment here. Do not let the enemy enslave your mindset to use you as a proxy to build his empire. Put the tools down. Stop building his empire. Don't allow your voice to be hijacked to speak death and corruption. Stop giving him legal access to utilize you as a slave and a prop to propel his talking points. Satan doesn't care about you. He is using you to stop. He is using you. So what you need to do is you need to break up and stop talking to the serpent. He is a liar, and that deception is a spell that lulls you to enslave you, and slaves have no rights. You are not controlling it. It is most certainly controlling you. Almighty God allures you and pursues you to set you free through Christ Jesus. That's the difference. He pursues you and allures you to deliver you and set you free. Satan pursues you and allures you to enslave you. This is your hour, Generation Z, to come to Christ. This is your time. Your shepherd is calling. He is calling you amongst the wolves to run to him. Don't walk, run. Because the pack's gone out and you need your shepherd. You need to come under his wings and take refuge right now. You change the mindset, you change a generation. Satan understands this well. And we should understand it even more as the church. This is why the knowledge of God has to be exalted above everything else in your mind in order for your vision to be expanded. Romans 16, 17 through 18. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and create obstacles or introduce temptations to commit sin, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Turn away from them, for such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites and base desires. By smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. That's the whole agenda of liberalism. That's one of their foundational agendas. By smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. This is a warning for the church and the conservative side, because through this, we are entering a time of the Lord separating the sheep from the goats. They've all intermingled, and there's a profound separation we're going to see over the next years. And I'm going to tell you how I know this, and why the Lord speaks to me through animals, I don't know. Maybe because we're called Ark of Grace. I don't know. But the Lord prophetically, and I've got animals that just show up too. We've got ducks coming to our swimming pool now. I have no clue how they found us. Every morning to be fed. Two by two. Can't make this stuff up. And our vet is named Dr. Angel. You can't make that up either. So the Lord prophetically sends animals around certain times. And I finally have caught on to this. He's probably like, wait, come on, Amanda. Come on, Amanda. I know you can do this. You can figure this out. So in April of 2023, before President Trump was first indicted, Cyrus the German Shepherd came. And he came with that name. And then, right before Passover, the Lord sent two doves, all white, beautiful doves. Shalom and Shiloh are their names. And then in August, because the Lord was trying to tell me something between SOS and this, the Lord, for the first time ever, sends goats. And now we really have the sheep separated from the goats on our property. They have fencing separating them. The goats are on one side. The sheep are on the other side. And we're living out that scripture. Physically speaking. On our property. What else is he going to send? I don't know. My husband tenses up every time I say the Lord's going to send an animal. I got side eyes about a puppy today. In the car. Pray for my husband. I'm like a prophesying female version of Noah. So the Lord sends these animals at certain, I don't know what he's going to send next. Don A. Clement called me and said, Amanda, the Lord's going to send you a lion. And Chris goes, absolutely not. The craziest thing is, we hired someone. The Lord sends me all the prodigals, by the way. I have no children of my own, technically, except for the animals. But the Lord sends me everybody else's prodigals. And then we send them to work with the pigs. Because that's where the prodigals woke up. So I get all the prodigals. And we had one come who the Lord is working on. And she has experience in a zoo working with lions and tigers. And I said, we're done. It's coming. I said, Chris, mentally prepare yourself. There's a big cat coming at some point. And I've learned to just say, okay, Lord, I don't even fight him anymore. Chris tries to debate with him on this subject. I'm like, it's a losing battle, Chris. We just have to accept what he says. But now you know how Noah's wife felt in the middle of all this. So the Lord tips me off to these things in these very unique ways, which I'm so appreciative of. And there is a separation happening. And we are being thrust into this time, and we are being thrust into a time where it is demanded and required by the Lord that the vision of the church has to expand. We have to truly expand to become the ecclesia. The vision in the church is too narrow-minded overall. You guys have a ton of vision here. It's great. In order for the Lord to expand your territory, he must first expand your vision and get you to come into agreement with that. Because if you don't agree with it, nothing can go forward. There's power in agreement. This is why the enemy so heavily launches attacks and warfare against the mind. Because if he can, in your mind, get you to exalt your problems, how you're feeling, get you in doubt, then it blocks your vision from being expanded. He has now gotten you to exalt your problem above the knowledge of God. He has now gotten you into idolatry. It's idolatry. And it blocks your vision because your problem has now been exalted above your God. This is why the media is always exalting the problem and not the solution. It's a tactic from hell to lead masses into idolatry. And right now within this nation, it is a battle over a mindset because the soul and mind are connected. Soul connects to the mind, will, and emotions. We have to expand the vision in the body of Christ. We have to have a mindset, and we have to want to serve, to want to be servants, and understand what that means. We are heirs through the covenant. We are servants through the covenant, and that mindset will keep you walking in humility. It will. Understanding that God gave it to you, and he can take it away. God gave it to you, and we're meant to be good stewards with what he gives us. That's a mindset. That's a mindset. The Bible is a collection of mindsets, and it shows you what each mindset produces. And there's a force that begins to come out of you because of your mindset and your actions. And that force will either draw people to you like a magnet who are stumbling blocks, people sent on assignment from the kingdom of darkness to stifle where the Lord desires to take you, or that force will draw people and resources to you that will help to elevate you and propel you where the Lord desires to take you. It's through grace as well, and that grace is through a mindset. Grace is actually as well the ability that God pours into us that equips us to endure and carry what we could not carry on our own. That's one of its functions. Romans 12, 2 through 3. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? Good, acceptable, perfect. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So what does the word conform mean? The definition of conformed is to act, often unquestioningly, in accordance with tradition, customs, or prevailing standards. So if you put it in that way, do not act unquestioningly with the world. That's what it means. You are a controlled asset at this point, and that is what the enemy wants. If you are conformed to the world, so is your mind. Your mind is conformed to the thinking, the mindset, the ways of the world, and once your mind turns in that direction, so does your life. So do your decisions. And the enemy then can stifle the expansion of your territory, enslave you, and utilize you for his purposes. Once the enemy has you conformed, he can utilize you as a proxy to attempt to reform the order that Almighty God put in place. The enemy will deceive you into believing you are resisting what is, quote, wrong. However, what really has occurred is you have stepped into rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Samuel, the prophet, looked right at Saul and spoke it. He was also prophesying that he would go to the witch of Endor. That rebellion was leading him right on a road to that. Praise the Lord. Rebellion is a mindset. It's a resistance in the wrong direction. Rebellion brings chains that the enemy attaches and can now move you in a direction that opposes the will of God. This is why Saul chased David. This is why Saul of Tarsus persecuted and killed Christians. This is what formed Korah's rebellion against Moses. This is what was involved in what we see unfolding in our nation. And the Bible, as I've said, it's a collection of mindsets. And you need wisdom to choose the one you will use because it will begin to shape your life. And in this hour, we have to choose wisely. Choose this day whom you will serve. But you must choose. This is a crossroads. Because the Bible is a living, active book, it is the living, active Word of God. It is living, active, and current for every generation. People who say that prospering is unnecessary, that's a mindset. It's not a good one, but it's a mindset. People who say, I will never get out of this hole I am in, that's a mindset. You won't. Words have power. People who say, I have all these illnesses, and they list them like a resume. That's a mindset. They're a toxic friendship. Break up with them. Break up with them. People who celebrate the killing of Christians in this nation like we are in a Roman Colosseum is a mindset. It's a wicked mindset. We are contending in the digital Colosseum of media and technology for the faith. Because it is a Roman Colosseum. And the Colosseum was meant to draw everybody's eyes to the center. And it was meant to be violent. And it was meant to have everybody looking down so they couldn't see anything else going on. And that's what we're in. That's what we're battling. People who say, I'm going to succeed in this, it's a mindset. People who say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, that's a mindset. We must in this time as the church align our mindset with the Lord to cut the power source of the vacuum the enemy is attempting to manufacture through events unfolding in this nation. Our Father, Almighty God, owns cattle on a thousand hills. He's ever present. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We are made in his image. We are bought with the highest price paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. By his stripes we are healed. The silver is his. The gold is his. The resources are his. The earth and the expanse of the heavens are his. They're his. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was Christ Jesus' weapon of choice in the wilderness against Satan himself when he was at his weakest in the flesh. This is what was deployed, and Satan departed. He resisted, and he departed. Submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. You have to be submitted before you resist. There's an order to this. All of these mindsets exert something in the spirit that affects the natural. What happens is that people, with the little they have done in their lives or what they've done up to that point, they get comfortable. They become unmotivated. They get too comfortable and they don't want to push to greater levels. Or people with what they have in their lives think they've proven, they've proven enough and I don't have to do anymore. Or that they cannot manage and steward what they have with any order or success. And they think they're entitled to more when they have not successfully proven they can be responsible and disciplined in what they have now. God loves to give you more. You have to prove you can handle it. You can steward it. You're emotionally mature enough to oversee it. And he will gladly pour it onto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He gladly will. But there's a responsibility on our part that we have to partner with him in order for that to happen. Growth never happens when you're comfortable, and greatness never happens when you're comfortable either. Victory doesn't happen when you're comfortable either. Growth, greatness, and victory are born of getting good and uncomfortable, and getting so uncomfortable that it propels you forward into the greater levels to conquer and take back territory for Christ. I've never been more comfortable in my life than I am now. And praise God for it. Because it propels you, it sharpens you, it pushes you. Now is not the time of complacency. A seed is dropped into the darkness of the soil and it dies. And then it has to fight and push its way through the dark soil towards the light. And once it peeks through the darkness and the light hits it, that plant continues to push upward and grow towards the light. In a way, we're that seed right now. There's a heaviness attempting to come over the land. There's a darkness. This is the concept of faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that produces one of the largest plants on earth. But they have to push for it. You have to fight for it. That seed has to contend through the darkness to push through towards the light. We have to contend for the faith. We can't just hope it all works out okay. We have to contend right now for the faith. However, for that to be produced, it needs soil it can root in, water to feed it, and light to help it grow. Those plants will keep driving their roots deeper so they can go higher. in the correct soil. We have to be willing to do the same, go deeper, become rooted deeper, come out deeper in the Lord in order for us to go higher. And when you go higher, there's pressure. With ascension comes pressure. And you have to be fashioned to handle the pressure. If the roots are not deep enough, the plant cannot bear the weight of growing higher. The weight alone would crush a plant with shallow roots. You can't have shallow roots and have an immense amount of growth because you'll capsize. Trees uproot very easily. That happens too. This is what happens with people. They want all the weight of growth and responsibility when their roots are way too shallow. And when their roots are good and anchored, they can withstand the storms. They can withstand the rains. And they can bear forth the mature fruit. That's what the Lord is looking for right now, the mature fruit to come forth. This is why growth is a mindset, and committing to that process of such is essential for that to happen. And you cannot circumvent this process. You can't circumvent it. We cannot, as the church, believe that we can be completely undisciplined in many areas of our lives and that everything's going to turn out in order. We have culpability in this. But when you partner with the Lord and you obey, because obedience is better than sacrifice, the Lord will continue to pour resources. He will continue to pour wisdom into your life. He will continue to pour blessing into your life. He's doing that for you to advance his kingdom. He's not doing it for you to be undisciplined with it. That is not how stewardship works. Stewardship works by you being disciplined and responsible and emotionally mature with what Almighty God is giving you. When you commit to pray, study the word, fast, change your mindset, learn how to hearken and obey the voice of the Lord, that is a mindset, and that is a mindset that brings life and life more abundant. Your mindset and your capacity to expand your vision determine your growth. Man's soul either lives or dies by mindset. The mindset is attached to the will. And demons and the kingdom of darkness will bear down and oppress to keep you from the mindset the Lord needs you to have to take you where he desires you to go. Where you break free from all of it. Where you break generational cycles and disrupt his plans for generations to come. He's got a blueprint for generations to come. It's time we disrupt it. We override it. And we dismantle it through Christ Jesus. Demons don't care who you are. They tremble at the authority you carry through Christ. Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? Through the authority, through Christ. Combine with the mindset you have. And one of the most dangerous things to the kingdom of darkness is when you really know the power and authority you have through Christ, and you know how to operate in it. That's when you become dangerous. That's when you become a formidable opponent to them. Stop giving them easy access points and start with decisiveness and closing off those access points. This is a mindset that the church has to get in. It's a mindset to walk each day dying to self and growing so that your spirit man overtakes your flesh. And now your flesh has to submit and be led by your spirit man because it is stronger now in that wrestling match. And many times that involves making difficult decisions that are necessary for growth. And in the realm of the spirit, we have all these things happening around us that many times we can't see. You have poverty, you have prosperity, you have sickness, you have wellness, you have wholeness, you have joy, you have depression. All these things are swirling around you. And the ones that will be drawn to you in the natural will be the ones you, with your mindset and your actions, have given place to. It opens a door. And that's what's going to be drawn to you. It works generationally, too, in order to keep a family line in bondage and in that cycle intact. You break the cycle, you break the power. And it's time the church goes for the power source of such things and cuts it off. If you want to cut the power, you go to the source of the power. And to do this, we have to submit right now to the plans and purposes of Almighty God and understand that spiritually we have to war. We have to contend. And you do this not only by rebuking the devourer in the name of Jesus Christ, but also repentance is a reengineering and a rewiring of your thinking that begins to disrupt the pattern of thinking that was producing that toxic result. The nation needs repentance. Generation Z needs repentance. The church needs repentance. It's a mindset. You make a willful decision to love what God loves and hate what God hates, period. Those of you watching can be the ones who determine and set your mind to do this. And it will affect your life. It will affect generations to come. It will affect this nation in a profound way. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind is like a threefold cord. Ecclesiastes 4:12, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The three work together. Familiar spirits in the kingdom of darkness study the mindset around a particular issue, a particular person, a particular something going on within a family or nation. And then they go to work creating a stronghold around it that gives them certain legal rights and gives them a certain level of strength to operate from. That stronghold, as long as it remains intact, allows them to maintain their territory within a family, within a region, within a person's life. For example, in the book of Daniel, it was the prince of Persia, demonic ruler over that area, who withstood Gabriel, the archangel, for 21 days before he called in the muscle of Michael to come and remove him. The enemy thrives in cycles. You sever the point within a cycle, you break what is holding that cycle together, you weaken the kingdom of darkness's position within your life and your family and nation, and that's when you see victory. You see breakthrough. You breach the wall. Bringing down a stronghold, you're breaching the wall. And you're going in. This is why the Bible very clearly shows you the consequences of having a victorious mindset. A mindset of surrender to Christ. A mindset of life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your words matter. Your words have power. And then you have a mindset of sin, rebellion, disobedience, and darkness. And what that produces, we're watching that. The wages of sin are truly death. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You'll either eat the fruit of death or you'll eat the fruit of life. Whichever your mindset, you think and speak, that is the seed that will take root in your life, and that is the fruit you shall bear, whether it's rotten and filled with worms or it's mature, weighty fruit. The mature, weighty fruit has to come forth from the church in this time. The Lord in this time is pushing his people to bear this mature, weighty fruit, a fruit of substance, because the church needs the maturity and the ability to step fully into the contending at higher levels in this nation. The Lord requires this in this time coming to 2028. The church has got to expand its vision. We are too small in our vision. We're too narrow-minded at times in what we believe the Lord can do. What we believe, not what his word says. And this is exactly why serpents have been able to parade as spiritual salesmen and get the people to agree with mindsets and agendas that do not come forth from the kingdom of God, nor do they produce the growth and the vision for expansion. This is why the enemy has slithered in and he presented a counterfeit mindset to the younger generation. He studied them. And then he reverse engineered and presented it. And back in 2017, after President Trump won his first term, by 2017, church attendance dropped more than any other time in recent time. They left the defenses down. They thought, he's got it. He's in. We don't have to do anything else. We left our spiritual borders vulnerable. We left our posts. And by 2020, a plague hit this nation. and the earth, man-made, but still a plague. We cannot let this happen again. We cannot squander the window God has given us in this time. In fact, serpents will stunt your growth. They will bring you back to superficialness. They will slither you away from the deep root systems needed for growth, and they will sell you off to the highest bidder. You are just another body to them. Telescopes enable us to see what the human eye can't see into space, into the outer expanse. It allows us to see to the expanse of the atmosphere, and unless we align our eye with the scope of the telescope, we cannot see what's out there. We can't see but beyond our natural eyes range. It's the same with the Lord. We have to align our mind and our natural vision with Almighty God's expanded vision from His perspective that allows us to see far beyond what we could ever see on our own. We have to align with that scope of vision in order to see what we need to see in this time. And there's a grace for that. There's the grace God bestows upon people who are willing to do that. And part of the church has pushed away that telescope and has taught from the very narrow-minded perspective of just what is in front of their face and no further. And that is exactly where the enemy wants to keep you contained. The enemy wants to keep you in a place of nearsightedness. He wants to keep the church and the leaders of the nation in a place of nearsightedness. You cannot see his disciples of destruction coming if you're nearsighted. The wolves have gone out, and the shepherds must fiercely stand and defend in this hour. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's many of you in this room that are at the precipice of breaking out of mindsets that have kept you contained, that have delayed you for years, and today is the day you catch hold of this vision. You stop putting parameters on God. You stop limiting him in your life, and you stop uprooting everything that attempts to grow because you cannot stay disciplined long enough to see it through. That ends now. In the name of Jesus Christ. The church has boxed itself into a corner, and now Satan is capitalizing off of that. Now, this is part of the church that's done this. And he's capitalizing off of it. He's attempting to keep them contained in that corner and in that mindset. In that mindset, it is spoken that God does not speak to his people in that mindset. You can't hear God if you're in that mindset. And one of the mindsets being taught is that the Lord closed up shop and stopped communicating with his people and that the gifts are not for today. You mean to tell me that Satan can bestow spiritual gifts and a power upon those who are serving their father, the devil, but Almighty God, creator and sustainer of all things, has no ability to speak to his children and his heirs and has no ability to authorize them to operate in the power and authority we have through Christ Jesus? That teaching exalts the devil above God. That's exactly what it does. That Satan somehow has a line of communication, God does not. Oh, wouldn't he just love for us to believe that? He can go scratch. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And it has kept part of the church in prison within their own humanity. And it has diluted the power of the church and that lukewarmness. I will tell you in this season, the Lord Almighty is going to spit right out of his mouth. You either be hot or cold, choose. It has altered a mindset that prevents growth. And I spelled altered A-L-T-A-R-E-D. Because that's what you're stoking. With that mindset, and created an altar of spiritual atheism is what I call it, in the nation. Spiritual atheism operates out of having a form of godliness or I believe in God, but denying the power thereof and discouraging the power thereof for being operated in. That's spiritual atheism. In spiritual atheism, there's a following to a degree maybe of God's law, but on every level denying his power. Denying him at his highest positions. The highest altar, which is the throne of grace, where he sits. Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield, your protection, and your reward, your source from which your blessings and provision shall come." Look at the way the Lord is speaking to him. It is all to keep Abraham walking with this vision, continuing in a changed mindset, a transformed mindset, that the Lord will watch over his word to perform it. We have to expand our vision beyond our own backyard. If the enemy can get you to compromise and downgrade you from what you are truly supposed to become, your vision becomes impaired and you are never able to get your mind repositioned and aligned with the expanse of that vision. Do not let the enemy compromise you and attempt to sell you a cheap and counterfeit of what the Lord is truly giving you. Do not bargain away your birthright for something temporary and tangible. Do not allow the enemy to take what truly are the legal rights and entitlements of an heir and steal them. For we are heirs through the covenant, through Christ. The enemy is after the birthright of America. He wants the birthright. This is why the Caleb and Joshua generation is needed right now. How much time do I have left? Keep going. Okay. I'll try to get through. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank God I'm Italian, I could talk. This is why the Caleb and Joshua generation is needed right now. That would need to arise right now. Numbers 13:30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Let us go up and take physical possession of what we know God has already ratified and sanctified and ordained in his courts. That's what he was saying. Caleb had a spirit that understood the legal system of heaven and how earth in all its fullness had to submit to such. Imagine if the shepherds as a whole, those at the highest seats in government, fully caught hold of this. What would happen in our nation and within the earth? What would break out and wreak havoc on the devil? Caleb and Joshua both had a different spirit. They were set apart. And although the 10 spies were greater in number, they fell. And God upheld Caleb and Joshua. It does not take a majority. It takes a minority willing to align on every level with God's plans and purposes, which dismantles rebellion in numbers and becomes the majority. That's what happens. Numbers 13:31-33. But the men who had gone up to him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." There were giants in the land. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." All these spies were looking at was the physical matchup, the size differential, that they were facing the Jolly Green Giant. They were looking just at the sheer size differential when the spiritual landscape held far greater weight for victory. Since the giants in the land were significantly larger in size and stature, through their words, these 10 spies were putting the giants in a position of victory before the battle ever occurred and actually created unnecessary warfare in the spirit, sabotaging what the Lord had already declared, that he would hand that land over to them. August 12, 2025, 3 days before the SOS broadcast, the Lord had me title a broadcast, and he called it Exposing Spies in the Land. That's what he's going to do in this time. This is the time when a remnant with a different spirit arises in this nation. The Caleb and the Joshua generation. And what rose up when that started to rise? Korah's rebellion. Korah's rebellion, it's number 16, 1 through 11. And in it, it talks about 250 rose up with Korah. 250. They assembled together against Moses. Korah leads a rebellion. He spreads fake news. He spreads propaganda. He does all these things he shouldn't be doing. He's in rebellion at this point. He's committed to that mindset. And 250 are with him. Next year is America's 250th anniversary. And it happens in 2026, just 2 months prior to Rosh Hashanah, which begins on 9/11, and then 2 months later are the midterms. And August 12, 2025, I had said, we see Korah's rebellion percolating in the nation now. It's not an accident that the 250th anniversary is next year and the rebellion is rising. You can see the implosion coming in the nation. This was all August 12th. As to what happened with the 10 spies and Korah and the 250. And what happened to the 250? What happened to Korah and all his band of merry friends? The earth opened up and swallowed them. I don't know. They didn't have depends back then. I don't know how Moses withstood that and didn't like just... I would have been like, whatever you want, Lord. I'm not saying another word. But that's what happened. It's true. I think about these things. I know. It's strange. In my labyrinth of a mind that God gave me. This is the time of Caleb and Joshua, that generation rising in the church. Generation Z, you are part of this. And this needs to happen from the church to all the way to the White House. This is the time because the spies are about to be exposed and moved out of the camp. And Korah's rebellion put down if we do what we're supposed to do. Moses remained steadfast before the Lord when he was faced with rebellion. Because technically, I'm going to say it shouldn't be America first. That shouldn't be our slogan. Our slogan should be God first, then America. Put it in the right order. And there's a deep root of bitterness that the Lord's going to deal with too in the conservative movement through this. And the church. There's deep roots of bitterness in the nation right now that the Lord is going to weed them out. People shouldn't be sculpting narratives because they're not willing to forgive. We were all damned to hell. And a righteous Savior died for us when we deserve no mercy. And I see the wicked servants right now who were shown grace and mercy and now want to turn around and show none. You are so blinded by competition to be right that you lit a match and sent a biblical worldview up in flames. I believe a great altar of intellectualism has been erected like Babel in this nation. And that altar has had active sacrifices on it. And the consuming fire Almighty God is going to bring that altar down too. The world doesn't need more intellectuals. They'll gaslight things quicker than you can say the word gaslight. It needs those who dare to have the extraordinary faith of Moses and Caleb and Esther and Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and David and the disciples. Faith that didn't entertain people, it actually moved mountains. Faith that was a precise weapon and demanded results in the natural. Men and women who dared to go beyond their own understanding, ushering the power of the great I Am, El Shaddai. We must be specific when we engage and pray. We have that precision of a marksman, of a surgeon. We need to have that because demons are diligent, they are consistent, they are motivated, and so are their disciples. How much more consistent, precise, and motivated should we be as the church? The altars have to be dismantled in the high places in the nation, the college campuses. I like to call them temples of Baal and Ashtoreth, because the kingdom of darkness is powered by altars. The instruction from the Lord to Gideon in Judges chapter 7 was to go tear down the altar of Baal first, signaling Baal's legal jurisdiction in that area was being revoked, and build an altar to the Lord and take that territory back. Before he went to battle, he did that. And we as the church have to do the same in this nation. And I'm going to just show you some examples here of how I pray to show you we have to have precision. Demons are precise. We have to learn that. We have to learn those tactics of war. When a military unit goes out, they're precise. They don't go out saying, oh, we'll just, you know, wing it as we go. Can you imagine the horror? So I'll show you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command be broken, canceled, aborted, destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, and rendered powerless. Every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, threat, that the enemy, satanic agents, dark forces, unclean spirits, puppets, and agents of the enemy would attempt against me, against my husband Chris, against any animal under our care at Ark of Grace Sanctuary, against Ark of Grace Ministries, against Church International, and command in the name of Jesus Christ, it be broken off of our lives, my family's life, the church, my church, in the name of Jesus Christ, to be cast back to the areas God has designated to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ, and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. Once you start being that specific, you have to make the enemy work to find an opening. You want him to expend so many resources, you get too expensive for him. That's resisting. Resisting's not a nicey nice word. It's a hostile locking up and saying, I'm not moving, you're moving. That's what resisting is. And to do that fully, we have to be submitted to God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce and declare destruction upon all evil altars bearing my name or image of Amanda Grace Wagner, bearing the name or image of my husband Christopher Wagner, bearing the name or image of any animal under our care at Ark of Grace Sanctuary, bearing the name or image of Ark of Grace Ministries in every timeline or realm. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command destruction upon those altars, that by the holy fire of God, they are dismantled, destroyed, and brought to ash. And those ashes cannot be taken and used in any other ceremony or ritual against me, my family, or the ministry. I'll give you one more. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, there's a difference between taking a sword and using it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I activate the sword of the Spirit and all its capabilities to now work in my favor and destroy the snares and weapons the enemy deploys at me, to remove any embargo the enemy has placed in my way, and make the way clear and straight for me to walk in the excellence, victory, power, authority, and prosperity that the Lord God Almighty has ordained for me. This is warfare at a different caliber. This is what we have to rise to. This is what makes demons tremble. When you know how to take the sword and actually swing it and actually utilize it, and you actually go for their power source and you cut their power at its source, that is when you start advancing against the kingdom of darkness. And we have to get real good and precise when we pray. The days of superficiality are over. The days of half-hearted prayer is over. It doesn't work. But the days of actually being the Joshua and the Caleb generation, understanding the jurisdiction of heaven, understanding the legal system of heaven, and walking in the authority according to the covenant, now is the time of the church to rise up and do this. We are the Caleb and Joshua generation. Generation Z, you are the Caleb and Joshua generation. Rise up. Don't let the spies discourage you. They have been sent to sabotage you. And we rebuke that sabotage in the name of Jesus Christ and send it back to the dry places where it belongs. We cannot walk the way we once walked. The page is turned. We are in a heightened level of warfare. And Satan wants us to continue to be off guard, off our mark, distracted, not in the word, in doubt, in fear, in instability. We're not stopping. We're not stopping. And we're not going to stop speaking the word of the Lord. And we're not going to stop speaking the truth. And we're going to continue in it in the boldness of Almighty God that he has given unto us, power and authority from on high, because we know that the power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. And that's what we need to contend from. So church, be encouraged this day. Take up the shield of faith. Put it in front of you in the name of Jesus Christ to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because the enemy wants you to put your weapons down right now in fear. The battle is the Lord's. God is our refuge and our strength, of ever-present help in trouble. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. We battle from that point. We war from that point. Church, now is the time, and now is the hour. We rise up. We war in the spirit. We come into agreement with the plans and purposes of God, and we contend against the works of darkness and iniquity that the devil has to pay and be judged in this time for what he's done in this season. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And the church said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.